It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Let's welcome in on the celebrity line, as he is a celebrity in his own right, Mr. Jamie Rivers. What's going on, pal?
Mr. Cromer, how are we today?
Well, it's a Blues Win Wednesday around here. We're actually recording this on Wednesday as you're heading out of town and releasing it early on Thursday to see how the fans like it early in the morning. But the truth is, it's a Blues Win Wednesday, and I want to, before we get crazy, I watched Mike Yeo's press conference after the game last night, and he said one thing in there that took about 2 seconds that made me go, okay. And, you know, he's like, we've won three out of our last four, but it doesn't feel like it. I thought that was a really telling statement, and I think some of it is like what we touched on a little bit, and that was the consistency and momentum. You know, you would have liked to have seen, I mean, you know, it could have been five or six in a row. I mean, they started off well and lost the first game at home. I know it fell apart, but they started off well. Then they win, and then they win, and you think they're putting something together. They lose, and now they come back and win. So they're three out of four, but it doesn't feel like it, and I think that's why. But I thought that was a telling statement from the coach.
Yeah, you know, I think that a couple things he's wanting to probably get across as far as a message on that one is, one, it may not be as bad as it appears, being that, you know, they've won three out of the four, but also that the expectations from himself, the players, the media, the fans, everybody involved, is that the expectations are they could be far better than that. So I think that, you know, the hidden message inside all that is that I think he realizes that he's got a really good hockey club, and, you know, that winning is to be expected this hockey season, and that going three out of four when you could go, you know, six out of seven, you know, is just not going to be acceptable, especially when you throw in their performance that they had against Minnesota. I think that tarnishes a little bit of what they put together, but it was nice to see them bounce back with, you know, a couple people getting the job done last night, and mainly, you know, Johnson in net, and then Fabry scoring his first goal of the year, and then, of course, the usual suspect lately, Ryan O'Reilly, who's been fantastic for them.
Yeah, it's funny. I was telling some people last night that, you know, this thing for me just continues to get better with Ryan O'Reilly. I've said this 100 times over, but you look back at last year when they traded for Braden Schenn, and he come in here and was a really good player for him, and now, unfortunately, he's shelved, and let's hope not too long, but he's been a great player for the St. Louis Blues since the day he walked in here. And if it's even possible, I think they may have knocked this one out of the park even more. Ryan O'Reilly looks like that true number one center that every team in the league wants to have. And I think the Blues right now up the middle, you could argue, are as good up the middle as they've been. I can't even think of how long ago you could say they were this strong up the middle. I mean, this is almost crazy.
Yeah, no, they've got a great center ice combination of guys put together, and they even have guys who are playing wing at times that are great center icemen. So, I mean, that's how deep the riches are for the Blues at the centerman position. But, you know, Ryan O'Reilly, it was interesting because I think we knew statistically what we were getting from Buffalo. I mean, he put up great numbers and certainly was good on paper. But I think what kind of fell through the cracks and it's probably his own fault a little bit with his comments when he left Buffalo about how he'd lost a little bit of love for the game, and that, you know, it, losing so much and not seeing the light at the end of the tunnel had kind of tarnished things for him about going to the rink. And I think a lot of people focused on that and got sidetracked. And then when he showed up here in the summertime, I mean, he went to work, and we've discussed this numerous times, and so has a lot of people in the media about how hard he works while he's at the rink, while he's away from the rink. Everything he does, I mean, this guy is just on. He's a pro 24/7. And I think that that was a really welcome, I don't say surprise, but a really welcome view for these people to see that the guy, because, you know, you guys says, oh, I lost a little bit of love for the game. You wonder, well, shit, how high is his commitment level? Well, I think that he's answered those questions tenfold, and he continues to be the guy who is rallying guys for before and after practice workouts and doing extra things. And the greatest way to sell a product is to show people it works, right? And so by him playing as well as he is and scoring goals and getting points and leading and being good defensively and great on faceoffs, it just shows you that all his hard work, everything he's doing, is paying off. So now other guys buy into that. They think, well, shit, he's playing unbelievable. Maybe I should get out there early with him. Maybe I should stay on after practice and work on extra things. Maybe I should be going harder in the gym. And in my opinion, and just it's a fact, really, is that it just promotes a really healthy culture around your team.
Things going on lately, obviously, lots of, you know, the press has been amazing with no, you know, it's just relentless. How important was this victory for the St. Louis Blues, and what did you see in the game that might lead you to believe that this could carry over?
Well, yeah, I think it was huge. Obviously, there's a number of reasons for that, and, you know, we talked about it on Monday, is the coaching, you know, the coaching carousel had started, and, you know, Stevens goes out, then Coach Q goes out in Chicago, all that happens before the Blues have their game last night. And so, you know, Mike Yeo going into that game, and all the people in the St. Louis area are wondering, well, what are the Blues going to do now just on the ice? Never mind anything to do with front office or coaching or anything like that. But everything gets put under a microscope quickly, because the word around the league and the media is, okay, well, who maybe isn't meeting expectations this year? You know, now do we focus on them for the next big change? And so I think that there was a lot more than just 2 points on the line for the Blues. I think that the players felt like there was a lot more. I think that I would imagine that the coaching staff felt like there was a lot more on the line. So, yeah, it was a massive win in some respects. You know, did they play a flawless game? No. Did they get outshot terribly again? Yes. Did Johnson play great for them and keep them in the game? Yes. You know, and O'Reilly, we already talked about him. So, yeah, there's room for improvement still. But, you know, this is maybe a game that 3 weeks ago they don't win because of certain circumstances. So maybe things are starting to come around. And the 3 out of 4 is a great indicator that maybe they're finding ways to win, even though it's not, you know, as I like to call it, even though it's not a Picasso out there, you know, they're still getting the win.
Yeah, the one thing you mentioned that I got to ask you about is the play of Johnson. You know, a backup goalie signed for Allen. I don't think people thought much of the signing. I thought, you know, what are we doing here? Everybody knows Hutton was a really good backup for us last year, and at times we could count on him to come in and play big minutes, especially when Jake was struggling. But they signed Johnson. Not a lot of fanfare there. I think we're looking at it going, oh, shit, what if Jake Allen, you know, screws the pooch here? And truth be told, Jake Allen's taken a little bit of a beating from social media, from some fans at times. I think we're wanting to point the finger in all kinds of different directions. And sometimes you look at the score and you go, Jake Allen's horrible. But sometimes they're not his fault. And now you get into, well, whose fault is it, blah, blah, blah. But the truth is, I think Jake Allen's played well at times. And I think there's been goals that I think Jake Allen obviously would like to have back. So that being said, you know, you get a start in what a lot of people felt like was a big game. I mean, this wasn't like coming off back-to-back nights, you're going to start Johnson to give Allen a rest. You basically say, we're going to go with Johnson this game. And he goes out and he just plays what I think was a great hockey game. Gave you everything you needed and more, and really gave you an opportunity to win a hockey game. I don't know that I'd say he stole it, but he played awful well. So what kind of lift is that when a guy that you're – I mean, I don't know that the Blues feel this way, but I know a lot of fans are expecting nothing from, and he basically goes out and helps you win a hockey game.
Chad Johnson is look at his stats throughout the last couple of years. They don't jump off the paper. He's been a backup goalie. He didn't have tremendous success in Buffalo, but, you know, who would have under that team, or, you know, backstopping that team, rather. It's just, I don't know. He's a quiet guy that kind of goes about his business, doesn't say a lot. I think it's a perfect fit, actually, for Jake Allen, because he's not a showstopper, meaning that, you know, he doesn't need a lot of attention to do his job properly. And last night was a great indicator that he's a solid goalie. I mean, his rebound control last night was fantastic. His saves alone limited second and third opportunities where, quite honestly, if you're kicking pucks back out into traffic, you do see those goals that we talked about on Monday where the D or people are standing beside some of their players and the pucks are going in because you can't get a read as far as where the pucks are bouncing off your goalie. And then you're looking around, spinning around, chasing your tail, and that thing ends up in the back of the net. So for last night, if we're looking at one game isolation, he did a great job of making those saves, either directing the rebounds to non-dangerous areas or swallowing them up to prevent the second, third, fourth opportunities. And your goalie does that, and you get some goal scoring from your guys, which, of course, we got a lot from O'Reilly. But, you know, power play goal again for the Blues, I believe, last night, at least one that I can remember off the top of my head. This is boding well for the Blues. Hopefully, they're starting to turn the corner here. And I know it sounds like a broken record because every time lately we talk about that, there's something that sets them back. And I just don't think that we'd be talking about it like that if the Minnesota game wasn't such a letdown. And by letdown, I mean where it just didn't look like they had the horses. They didn't have the energy. They just didn't have the effort. They didn't have anything. And I think people would overlook that game if it was tighter, if there was more effort, if there was more passion or intensity. And it'd be like, well, you know, this is a pretty good homestand. But because that game is right in the middle right now and it sort of sticks out like a sore thumb, that makes this a little bit more difficult for people to buy into the fact that maybe the Blues are creating some momentum.
On the heels of that, I have to ask you, as we record this, Lou Koric tweets out that, first off, I thought it was odd last night that, some media guys jumped on it a little bit, and I saw it, that the Blues were going to hold a private practice at Enterprise Center instead of going out to their normal practice facility where a lot of fans might like to go watch or whatever. But, you know, that right away, private practice, that gets people's wheels start turning. And now it comes out that they canceled it today altogether. The conspiracy theory people are running rampant right now. So I'm asking you, why would they cancel practice today?
Well, to touch on the first part of your question, you know what, you change the venue sometimes just based on how you view practice going the next day. And you know, if the Blues wanted to have a real teaching practice or change something systematically or go over something that they don't really want out there, then they have a private practice. And, you know, maybe they had it in the back of their mind that they were going to give the guys a day off today to heal some of the bumps and bruises and whatnot. And, you know, once again, we're not privy to all of the injuries that guys are going through right now. We don't know who's having to ice down and do all sorts of therapy. And maybe there's a lot of guys. Maybe there isn't. Maybe he just felt like the vibe was that of a group that needed just to have a no-brainer day. Show up at the rink, go through a little off-ice workout, get a good shower, get some therapy if you need it, and get the hell out of here. It's a gorgeous day. You know, like sometimes it's just that's the mentality. And sometimes it's good to get the guys out of the pressure cooker a little bit, you know, get them out there and not have a difficult day, not have to answer questions from the media that surround different things. To my knowledge, I think Mike Yeo is going to address the media himself, and you know, hopefully someone will ask him these questions directly, which I'm sure they will. And I'm sure he'll have probably some of the same answers that we just talked about.
Last thing in reference to last night's game, it also marked the ninth game in the NHL for Robert Thomas. I think his game has improved. I think it was nice to have him here in the instance of you lose a Braden Schenn and you have a natural offensive type forward to jump into a top two role. Now, is his game ready to play top line minutes in a center position in the NHL? I don't know. I think we would trust you more on that. But your thoughts so far on Robert Thomas and whether or not you think he stays or goes?
Well, he's staying for sure. You know, with Kyrou going down to San Antonio and Sammy Blay going down to San Antonio, they have to develop somebody here, and it just makes perfect sense to have Thomas be the guy. And, you know, like a lot of people have noticed, and certainly I have, is he's gotten better. Every time he's played, every game he's gotten better. And it's just a good indicator that last night he was able to be bumped up in the lineup, play well. Heck, he even got an assist in the game. You know, it just shows that maybe if we provide this guy with a little more opportunity, he can do more. And so, you know, I don't think he's going anywhere. I think going back to junior hockey at this point, after watching him in the last 3-4 games that he's played, I think it would be steps backwards. So the Blues are not forced into this situation because of the rules, but they kind of are. They're going to have to keep him around. And I think he's going to be a good addition. I don't think he's going to hurt the team. He could play, if a guy can play up in your lineup into the top six players, then you've got something special there, and it's time to keep him around and make sure that he turns into an everyday NHLer.
Well, I was going to ask you, and I think you kind of touched on it. The follow-up was, do you think the bigger issue is that they just don't feel there's anything left for him to do at juniors? Would this be a different situation if he could go to the AHL?
Well, I think it would be. I think you'd see a little bit of a rotation probably between him and Kyrou. Between, you know, back and forth throughout the season, just because it's good for these guys to go down, get that ice time, get those crucial minutes, the big time minutes, which is power play, penalty kill, last minute of the game, last minute of the period. You know, all those things are going to help them develop. But if you don't have that luxury of doing that, then you have to look seriously at what the best move is for this kid's development. And going back to junior hockey, where he's kind of a man amongst boys last year, one could only imagine, you know, how much that gap would be this year, having been here for this long in the NHL and now dropping back down to junior where there's 16-year-old kids playing. You know, I can't imagine that he would be pushed to develop as quickly as he'll get that here in the NHL. So to me, it's a no-brainer. The rules work against it a little bit, but at the end of the day, I think he has done enough here lately to stick around for a while.
An extension of this Blues talk, there's no doubt, is going to be what happened yesterday. You were a part of it. I know you probably received no less than 1,000 texts and tweets at you and things, because I think Blues fans, and, you know, I get it. They've been on Coach Yo lately. There's no doubt about it. You know, the puck stops here, so to speak, and Blues fans are not happy with the start. An old friend who's done an unbelievable job in Chicago is let go and basically is going to take the brunt of probably some poor decisions from Mr. Bowman. And he's going to be the scapegoat here. Maybe, you know what, though, I have heard many guys say that sometimes the voice needs to change, so maybe that's it too. But I think a lot of people liked Joel Quenneville when he was here. I think a lot of people respect Joel Quenneville even more now that he's got the three cups from Chicago. People were ready to let Mike Yo go. Fans, that is, were ready to say, get out of here. And now Coach Q is available. So the social media yesterday was off the charts. I know you had to deal with a lot of it, because people always are interested in your opinion. Why don't you address this Coach Q thing in your words?
Yeah, sure. No, look at here. I got, you're right. I did get a ton of people that, as I say in the Twitter world, added me about Coach Q and Mike Yo, and, you know, just about Yo must go and bring in Q and all this other stuff. But here's the thing, and I sent it out there on Twitter yesterday, that Mike Yo is a former teammate of mine. I spent 3 years playing with him, and we've been friends since I was 16 years old. So I'm really not going to comment on Mike Yeo's future here with the Blues because he's the current head coach. They just won a hockey game. They're 3 out of 4. It's early in the season. And it's just not my place to comment on that. And I just won't. And it'd be unfair to a lot of coaches, let alone someone who's my friend. But yes, here's the dynamic with Joel Quenneville. And this is why people get, I don't know, excited or intense or passionate, whatever the word is we're looking for. You know, last year, the Montreal Canadiens did something very peculiar in that they, as soon as Claude Julien was fired, they, in return, fired their head coach, Michel Therrien, and brought in Claude Julien right away. And that's the first time that I can remember of that happening, where they literally didn't really have a reason to fire their head coach, but they fired their head coach just because they felt the better one was available. And I think that that's kind of got people, you know, amped up about this Joel Quenneville thing, as they think, well, you know, before somebody else makes that move of hiring or firing to hire, you know, why wouldn't the Blues do that? And of course, in that, there's a lot of things that are attractive about it. One, you have to look at Joel Quenneville's Stanley Cup rings. He's got 3 as a head coach and 1 as an assistant coach. You know, that's 4 out of 5 fingers on your hand, which is pretty damn impressive. You know, he's second in wins all time in the NHL. So this guy is had success everywhere he's gone. And now the big one is that he used to coach the Blues. And he was successful here with the St. Louis Blues, had a great run here with the Blues, was very popular with the players, the fans, the media, everybody. So naturally, when you see Joel Quenneville fired in Chicago, people are like, bring him home, you know, acting like this is his home, which I get it. This is where he did cut his teeth as a head coach, and this is where he did get his start. And yes, Joel Quenneville's a Hall of Fame coach beyond a shadow of a doubt. The moment he decides to retire, it will start the process for him to go into the Hall of Fame. It's a no-brainer. But here's where it gets complicated. And this is the part where people don't really take this into consideration sometimes, is he makes $6 million this year and next year. It's a total of $12 million that has to be paid to Joel Quenneville. Now, Joel Quenneville has never gone to a team without bringing his own staff. And the reason he does that is because he believes then that he's got the right guys, the right culture, the guys who have his back. It's a team thing for Joel. So that being said, guys like Kevin Dineen, Mike Kitchen, Ulf Samuelsson, maybe they have to come with him. So now if anybody who hires Joel Quenneville will be looking at $6 million plus probably another $3 million total between other coaches that are going to come. So that's a $9 million payroll that's going to be behind your bench and in your press box. And if you're going to take on that number, you have to also take in the fact that you're going to be paying probably current coaches that you're relieving of their duties at the same time. So you could end up with $13 or $14 million worth of payroll for your coaches, and a lot of that where guys aren't even on your team anymore and you're paying that. That's a lot of money for any ownership to have to deal with. So for Joel Quenneville to go into a situation right now, it's going to be a big expense for whatever team that is. And I'm not just talking about the Blues. I mean, even if Anaheim wants to call because they're not happy with Randy Carlyle, or any other team around the league, Ottawa is not happy with Guy Boucher, or because we know what's going on in Ottawa, and we'll touch on that, I know for sure today, but these are examples of teams that would be looking to do this, but there's a big price tag and a lot of logistics that goes into it as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of people thought this was a natural, easy piece of cake. If that makes sense. I really do. I think people thought this is no problem. This is a perfect storm, and it's simple. Fire Yeo, hire Quenneville, and as our man Kimby said on the show the other day, his wife will let him go back down to Market Street with his chair, and he can start getting ready for the parade. But that's, you know, I get the thought, and I understand it. And if they were going to make a move and that was it, I'm not saying I would sit here and go, oh, bad move. It's just, it's not that easy. It's just really not. And I'm sure, and I don't speak for the St. Louis Blues, I don't speak for you, I don't speak for anybody, I'm fairly certain at the end of the day, if this thing can work out with Mike Yeo at the helm, that's probably best served for everybody involved. But they're going to have to play better. It's that simple.
Yeah, and you know what? It's not – people are taking into consideration here, too, that, holy shit, Joel Quenneville, he might want a break. Like, if you look at his tenure in Chicago, this guy has coached an amazing amount of hockey games, from preseason through Stanley Cup finals to short summers to the draft to free agency. This guy probably hasn't had a breather in a decade. So, you know, maybe this – he's going to step back – go down to the Bahamas, have a couple of pina coladas, couple umbrella drinks, and enjoy the moment. And God only knows that come summertime, his stock is only going to rise in value, because by that point, there'll be probably multiple teams that are looking for head coaches. And, you know, the bidding war might start. So he may be in a better position come, you know, June than he is now. So who knows? It's a novel idea sometimes to think about, or it's exciting, rather, for people to think about, oh, my God, we get Coach Q back, and they automatically think, here comes the parade down market. But it's not as easy as that is, as it sounds sometimes. And shit, Joel may not want to come back here because maybe the expectations are too high in St. Louis, and maybe he's nervous about meeting those expectations. I mean, I don't know if that would be the case, but shit, you never know. Maybe he wants to start a new project with a younger team, a different team, in a, you know, non-traditional market. Who knows? There's just a lot of things that go into it. That's all.
Well, it is nice, I must say, though, to be discussing a Blues win. Hopefully this win turns into more wins, and then we start getting, you know, then we start talking about, you know, things we need to do to start moving up the standings, things like that. But, you know, the fans have really enjoyed some of your guys' takes on other things that go on around the NHL. We had an interesting little thing go on. Well, two interesting things that I want you to touch on. First off, let's talk about this whole Uber thing. I'm going to give you my quick opinion. Number one, I was raised to not say anything that I wouldn't say in front of somebody. Now, that being said, this seems a little different to me. The sports thing is, you're around people every day. You're almost like family. If anybody thinks for one minute that when you're around certain coaches every day that they may not get on your nerves, or they may not have characteristics that you think are funny, or they may not do things in a certain way that you don't agree with, that would be preposterous, because that's just – I mean, nobody – it's not harmonious 24/7, 365. I don't know that what they said was all that bad. I guess if you want to say they were kind of not respecting a coach, you could. Number one, that's the issue for me, because you can't even question the whole privacy thing. That's a given. That's just ridiculous that this even came out. That being said, I go back to what we talked about on the show a week or two ago. Can you even imagine your time in the NHL with this social media and stuff like this? Because I can't believe this doesn't go on every day.
Yeah, well, look, first of all, I have a hard time believing, no matter how great you were raised, Crones, I have a hard time believing that you've never sat back, had a beer, and bitched about a boss or a coworker or somebody else. I mean, not that it doesn't make you a bad person. All I'm saying is that everybody has, at some point or another, let their guard down and talked some shit about something that they're unhappy with in that moment.
And that's what I meant.
Doesn't mean
that's really what I meant. I raised that way, it's just natural.
It is. And it's all about the moment, too. You know, what didn't get described in that was the fact that, you know, 10 out of the 12 power plays from their last three or four games that they'd played, they'd given up goals in those games. And they probably were the difference maker. You know, Ottawa's not blessed with a powerhouse team, so giving up that many power play goals probably did hurt them. And they're on a road trip, and you're wanting your guys to bond. They were in Vegas. They'd had a day off, went to Arizona, and that's when this happened. And I'm not saying getting together and having a bitch fest is bonding, but it certainly didn't separate those players as they were out with seven guys in a cab doing, you know, probably dinner and maybe some cocktails. I don't know what they were actually doing, but they were together, and it happens all the time, man. You know, you're out there. It's a performance and results driven industry, and you're very exposed through every avenue of media as a professional athlete. And especially if you're from a Canadian team in the NHL, you're getting a lot of media attention every single day of your life. So these guys are probably in the pressure cooker, and they got out on the road. They're in an Uber with some dude that they don't know, and they're just talking some shit. Nothing harmful. Like, God, think about how bad it could have been, really. You know, like, these guys, it happens where guys say even worse shit, and not necessarily about teammates. They just say other stuff, and, you know, that would be out there now, and it's an in-the-moment thing. I just think it's ridiculous. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've sat on a bus or a plane or in a bar or at somebody's house, had a few pops, and, you know, pissed and moaned about something rather that we were either unhappy about, didn't like. And sometimes you sit there and you're saying positive things too, and you're pumped up talking about great things. Yeah, this just turns out to be that it was a situation where they weren't happy with their penalty kill, talked about not paying attention for 3 weeks, and guys say shit sometimes just to be funny. I think that that's missed in this too, is that not necessarily are they talking and saying, like, this is fact in a court of law. They're just bullshitting. And for Matt Duchene to get on there and say, oh, I haven't been paying attention for 3 weeks, you think he was really serious? He was trying to get a giggle out of the boys, which he did. So, you know, it's an invasion of privacy. I think the Uber drivers should be forced to disclose right away when they get in the vehicle. But, hey, guys, just so you know, I have a in-vehicle camera here for my protection and your protection as well, yada, yada, yada. That way their guys know. And, you know, I think the biggest shocker for me is that right away again last night in Ottawa, Uber is advertising all over the scoreboard.
I know, that was funny.
The Ottawa Senators game. I was like, oh, my God. I mean, talk about awkward moments. I mean, shit. I mean, that had to have been pretty brutal. And the other side of it, too, is I can't believe Lyft didn't get in on this and swoop in and try to become an NHL sponsor overnight, guaranteeing that privacy will be given to the players. I mean, there's a lot of things you can spin out of this, but it's just an unfortunate situation. And now those players and everybody have to deal with that probably for a little while now.
Yeah, amazing. And so that my comments weren't taken wrong, because I understand now how it could have been. I think back to the times, I'm talking about coaches that I know loved me and did everything for me in the world for my own good, that I probably at one time or another didn't understand. And like everybody, when it comes to being coached, especially as you get older, said things that I later realized weren't true. Realized that I was wrong. Realized that I didn't know that this was for my own good. Things like that. And that's kind of where I was going, is that this is a little bit different for me, because we're talking about almost like a job versus who they are as real people. And that's kind of where I was going with this. I don't know any of these people, who they are. The coaches, I don't know one thing about who they are as people and what they do. I mean, this sounded like a work complaint. That's really what it sounded like to me.
Well, it is. I mean, that's exactly what it is. And it's just, like, what's unfortunate is it's no different than a Friday afternoon happy hour where a bunch of people, guys and girls, meet up, have a few cocktails, and then 35, 45 minutes into it, they start getting a little buzz on, and they start pissing and moaning about the week that was at work, and maybe the boss who was too hard on them, or expectations were too high. It's no different than that, really. I mean, these guys are in a group setting, just trying to have a conversation, have a few laughs, maybe using humor as a way to get through some of the difficulties that they're having with their penalty kill or with the team in general. I don't know. To me, it was a joke that it got released. And then for the driver to find out, you know, the avenues that he had chosen to release this thing, where he had kind of leaked it to a few media people in Ottawa, asking them to put it out there, and then them refusing. And then finally the video circulating, because the Senators knew about this video, I guess, 2 days before it actually got released, or that it hit mainstream. And apparently they had dealt with it internally already and whatnot. So they were ready for all this storm to hit. And they're certainly a team that in the last calendar year have had to deal with quite a few storms going through Ottawa with their team. So, I don't know. I think so far, anyway, from what I can tell, it was handled the right way. Nobody's really speaking about it anymore, which, you know how that works. If you don't give it oxygen, it can't continue to breathe. So hopefully it'll just pass and everybody will be able to laugh about this in the future.
Well, I'm not quite sure if anybody's laughing in Tampa Bay last night. I thought this was good, but we have an interesting situation involving Milan Lucic, who's an interesting player, and I think people have looked at him before as – I know the Blues, like he's been tied to the Blues at different times and people like him. He plays a certain style of game. But, he did something last night that's got some people upset. I'm not all that upset about this. In fact, his teammate takes a bad hit from behind. I don't believe anything was even called. Doesn't even matter. He basically hits the ice. And rather than trying to engage somebody and get them to engage him, he just takes matters into his own hands and goes and takes out the guy and then tries to throw him a beating. Your thoughts on this?
Well, there's a couple of different things that probably need to be highlighted in this. That's one of the reasons that they went and got this guy and signed him was because he is a physical force to be reckoned with, and he's always looked out for his teammates and always tried to hold other teams accountable for their actions. Whether or not people believe there's a spot in that game for that anymore, there's 42 million reasons why he's valuable to the Edmonton Oilers in that way. And last night was no different. There was a hit from behind, and as soon as he came across that kid, he gave him a whack in the back of the legs at center ice. And this goes back to my whole thing on a long time ago about being aware of your surroundings. This kid knows Lucic just two-hands him in the back of the legs. You have to know at that point that he is now on your tail. He is now engaged. There's no way, and the kid didn't pay attention, so that's partly his fault. But he goes down the ice and pays no attention to where Lucic is going. Guess what? I would have known as soon as I crossed paths with that guy and he whacked me in the back of the legs, I would have been like, okay, he's trying to kill me, and I better keep my head up. And this kid didn't pick up on that, and he went down, and then he got rocked by Lucic. Was it a penalty? Yes, 100%. It's an interference call. He rocked him without the puck and then proceeded to give him the old man treatment. Give him a couple of smacks in the head and rub his face into the ice and basically reprimand him. It wasn't a vicious hit. He didn't target the head. It wasn't from behind. He didn't sucker punch the guy. Didn't cross-check him in the face. Did he send a message? Yes. I think the message was loud and clear. I guarantee if you ask the Tampa Bay Lightning players and anybody around the NHL right now, if they saw that hit, they're going to say yes. And if you say, well, why did it happen? They're going to say, well, because that guy hit someone from behind. So guess what? Mission accomplished. Now you know when you play the Edmonton Oilers, you just don't have the ability to run around and do anything you want that could hurt an Edmonton Oilers player. Because if you do, there's a big guy called Milan Lucic, number 27, who's going to come and hunt you down. And I don't care what anybody says, that keeps players honest and it keeps you aware and it keeps you responsible for your actions. So, is it the cleanest play I've ever seen? No. Is it effective? Yes. And I really don't have any problem with it. My biggest issue with it is that, one, it's being made an issue, and two, that kid had no idea of his surroundings when Lucic was on the ice, and that's on him.
Well, my follow-up question to you is pretty simple, and that's this. I think it speaks to the mentality of the NHL now. He hits the guy from behind. To your point, is he even aware that he's in trouble, number one? Number two, so he comes out, and now it's time to pay the piper, and he thinks just because he gets tapped on the ass and he says, no, thank you, that it's over. Because that's how this whole thing comes across. as is, it's almost like, well, I'm protected now because with the rules, I don't have to fight you if I don't want to, so I can go out and do whatever I want to do. So, this goes back to, and I think you and I talked about it off the air, and I stand by what I said. I understand the whole 2-minute penalty and all that stuff like this, but this is where the instigator rule, people think it's not that big. It is a big deal, because if you had issues that happened to your team and some guy literally could come and grab you and say, I don't care whether you want to or not, you're going to answer the bell, then these things would curtail. And if you think they wouldn't, then I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It is. I mean, I don't disagree with you. But it's a very tricky situation because I've played in both leagues, meaning I've played in an NHL that you were allowed to do that, and I also played in an NHL that had the rules of you're not allowed to do that. And when there were no repercussions to the instigator rule at all, you did have guys that just skated up to guys and started beating the crap out of them. And, you know, you can say, well, he had it coming. Well, yeah, but sometimes it wasn't even a fair fight, meaning that the guy wasn't even ready. He wasn't even looking. And then guys' gloves are off and they're pounding the shit out of a guy before he even knows what's going on. And I get it. He's paying the piper and he shouldn't have done what he did. I know the rules. I played by them and I live by them. But it also doesn't promote the cleanest game to watch. Now, if they just put it as a 2-minute penalty for instigator, or if they just gave a 10-minute for instigator, still penalize the guy, but, you know, not hurt the team as much, I think that there would be a little more of this addressing thing physically. But then we're going back down the road of enforcers, and then people get into the head injuries. It's a very complicated world we live in right now. And when you dive into sports, especially the NHL right now, and the NFL to some degree as well, but the NHL especially, the waters are so muddied with rules and logistics and injuries and appearance and marketing, and it's a tough one to sell. You know, I think that Lucic did what he was supposed to do by going out there and scaring the bejesus out of the kid and the entire team. I don't think he injured him. I don't think he should be suspended. I think the rules worked the right way. He did get a 2-minute for roughing, a 2-minute for interference, and they gave him a 10-minute misconduct, which means they just washed him out of the game. But we all know that that'll never be forgotten.
Yeah, you know, to your point, and as I look at this, I like the whole, if you're going to instigate a fight in that situation, you're going to get a 10-minute misconduct. I like that, because then what you have is you're saying, okay, we're not just going to let this quote-unquote, if you want to, now, I don't know that I'll ever get back to this, that quote-unquote goon thing, but I don't like that term anyway. But, you know, okay, so this guy's not going to run rampant the whole game and just go out here and do this sort of thing. I'm sure you guys, there was a code. I know there was a code back in the day. I don't know. This would tell me that the code's not there. But this goes back to something that Darren said on the show when we talked about these injuries. I would think Kimby, and I know you too, much more concerned with Russell taking the shot from behind than the quote-unquote supposed head injuries that come with fighting. As Darren pointed out, and you've pointed out numerous times, that's not the head injury issue. These are much bigger issues, hitting from behind, targeting the head, things like that, with blindside and all that kind of stuff. Much bigger issue than fighting.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, if you talk to any brain specialist or concussion doctor or anything like that, they'll tell you that the impact from the body collisions is greater usually than a fist hitting somebody clean with perfection and with force in order to create a concussion. The hit from behind always scares me. The hits where guys jump off their feet and target the head, they scare me. Cross checks to the back of the head or the face, those are awful. They're far worse than what we saw in that video. But I just don't know where the league goes from here. It's very confusing for past players to watch. It's confusing for current players to deal with. And I just don't know if there's an answer right now. I think the hitting from behind and that the referees, there's two referees on the ice, and the NHL has already proven that they're willing to even go above and beyond that with suspensions and fines for where there's not even a penalty awarded on the play. So I think incidents like that need to be looked at as well, to where a guy like George Peros goes, yeah, you know, Luch, we're going to fine you because, you know, there was a little extreme. Luch is probably going to say, okay, I get it. Here's your money. But we're also going to look at the hit on Russell that never got called from behind, and that guy, too, is going to be fined. I feel like then the players would feel safer knowing that, yes, everything is being addressed. Where it gets bad is where that one hit doesn't get addressed, the hit from behind on Russell, and then Luch's gets, you know, addressed in a way with the media scrutiny, with the fine, with the league, and everybody going crazy. Then the players feel like it's not fair. It's not an even playing field. And that's where it really gets, you know, confusing for these guys.
Yeah, because let's not kid ourselves. I don't think you're going to get a ruling from the NHL that says, you know what, we're not going to fine Lucic because did you see what he did to Russell? So it was just, yeah, unfortunately, you don't get the mom and dad at home going, you know, little brother and big brother, and it's like, well, what'd you do to him? It just, you don't get that, so.
Yeah, but it would be great if you did, though, right?
Sure,
it'd
no.
Be great if they could announce, you know, a fine for Lucic and another fine for that guy who hit him from behind. It'd be amazing what that would do for the players. I tell you right now, they'd realize then that, hey, you know what? I don't have to go crazy now when I get hit from behind because the league might actually be watching this.
And I think it'd be, without saying that, I think that would be the message. Like, you know what? We're only going to fine him and we're going to fine this guy. And that's basically our way of saying, we understand why you did what you did, Milan, but at the same time, we can't promote it, so we're going to fine you, but we're not going to suspend you.
100%. I think that would create a quicker route to a solution than what we're doing right now.
You know, and the whole thing for me, too, is last point on this, something you brought up, and I'll end with this, and then you can comment on it, and I'll let you get out of here. But, see, to me, the last part of this whole thing is, and you brought it up, you know, you're bringing that back into the game, but see, nowhere do I look and see a fourth line playing 15 minutes a game. I mean, the majority of these guys on the fourth line don't play much. So why in the world wouldn't you want to have that insurance policy in the game? Just, I don't understand why we had to get away from it. It doesn't make any sense to me. It isn't like we got rid of the fighting and we got rid of these types of players playing on the fourth line and we added this immensely awesome offensive performance. It makes no sense to me. I don't understand why. I still will never understand, you know, why they got rid of it. I don't want to hear a bunch of bullshit about how they wanted to market themselves to families because it ain't worked. So I don't get it. I've been to 1,000 hockey games in my life. I've never once ever not seen 18,000 people on their feet when a fight breaks out. Never. Never.
No, look, I agree with what you're saying. Now, the problem with, you know, what you're saying is that there's guys that played, you know, two or three shifts a game, and they were on fourth line, and they, you know, they looked bad as guys who don't play a lot. You're right. Fourth liners don't play 14, 15 minutes a game. And we're trying to get guys that are playing 8 to 9, 10 minutes. And it's not that great of a difference. I just think the only difference is that people look at the quality of shift that these players are getting and not necessarily getting three shifts in a game. And he's played a minute and a half. And in that minute and a half, it was, you know, him skating out to tap a guy in the shin pads and say, let's go. So, you know, I see both sides of it. I don't think you can take it out of the game because emotions run too high. The speed of the game is too great and the intensity levels go through the roof. But at the same time, I think eliminating that 2 to 3 shift player is a good idea as well.
Yeah, I understand that. I just go back to when Ryan Reeves played 6 minutes a game, and you're going to have a hard time convincing me that Ryan Reeves at 6 minutes a game wasn't more impactful than Oscar Sundquist at 8 minutes a game.
Just... No, you're right. There's no argument here on that. But, you know, Ryan Reeves is proving still that he's impactful and he's playing well and he's not getting a ton of ice time. And, you know, guys who can bring that physicality within the rules and then still answer the bell when it's time to, those guys are extremely valuable in today's NHL. And I believe they are anyways.
Yeah, well, it's – and again, it's more than fighting. And I think there's – you know, and I understand that we did see some goony type stuff, if that's how you want to phrase it. but not as bad. I mean, no more isolated incidents than you see now on this other stuff. I mean, for the most part, I mean, you guys have said it on here 100 times. If you want to go watch Darren Kimble play hockey, he could play hockey. He could do that too. That just wasn't his job.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, you're absolutely right. And, it gets overlooked all the time. But, these guys can play hockey, but there still has to be some accountability in the game for sure. And the only way to do that is by either making it even playing field for the penalties and the fines, or letting the players kind of police it themselves a little bit and, within the boundaries of reason.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, hey, good stuff, man. I'm glad you took the time today before you head out of town to do the interview. That way we can get it out tomorrow. I know people would much rather hear from you for 45 minutes than me by myself. So that goes without saying.
Well, I'm glad to be here, buddy. Hopefully we're talking about some more wins when we come up next week.
Yeah, we'll be in studio Monday with you and Kimby for all of our listeners out there. It looks like his work schedule is going to put him in here on Mondays for the next couple weeks. So it should be for great conversation, and we'll just go from there. But really appreciate you taking the time and making this happen with your travel schedule. Good luck to you guys this weekend, and I'll see you on Monday, my friend.
All right, buddy. Thank you very much. Take care.
All right. That is Jamie Rivers. And again, special thanks to him for taking the time today to do the show. We want to thank SynergyHockeySkills.com for their continued involvement in the show and for always bringing Jamie to us, whether he comes in or calls in. So great stuff today. Really appreciated his takes on this. It's been a lot of wild things going on, especially within social media with Coach Q and Yo. And I think Jamie had a lot of interesting comments on that. I hope you enjoyed them. We want to thank everybody for tuning in. Check us out at BluesNHLPodcast.com. You can subscribe to the show there. It's free. Do your Amazon shopping. Help our producers Brian Crock and Andrew Allen that way for all the work they do behind the scenes. If you follow us on Twitter, we're going to follow you back. That's at STL Blues Podcast if you're a Blues fan. And again, if you follow us, we're going to follow you back. Find us on Facebook. Type in Blues NHL Podcast, like our Facebook page. Click invite your friends if you'd invite them to like our page as well. We'd appreciate it. The big thing we have going on, though, is on Mondays and Thursdays, the show is posted on Facebook and pinned. We're going to ask you to like that post, throw a comment on it. You can either get real in depth with your comment on what our topic is or, just anything, and then share it. That's the big thing. That just helps the post gain relevance and it helps us reach more people. You're going to be eligible for some autographed memorabilia prizes that we're going to be giving out throughout the season here. And it's our way of saying thank you as you help us reach more people. So, you guys have been doing that lately. We want to turn that up even more. We would appreciate it greatly. Blues NHL Podcast on Instagram as well. Like us there. You can find us as part of lineupmedia.fm. We're very, very happy to be a part of that network. Home now to Yo Radio, the streaming platform that's really growing every day. New people coming on board with stations. You're going to hear some tremendous stuff that I know you guys will enjoy. Please sign up for it. It's free on your mobile device. Just download it from the App Store. And again, I know you'll really, really like it. To all of our partners out there for making the show go, again, Adam Smokehouse, thank you so much for your continued support. Each week they bring you the Live from Mentor Arena segment. If you want to have some barbecue before you listen to this segment, I would encourage you to call over to Adam Smokehouse. First, find out if they can deliver it to you. If not, you'll have to go pick it up. If it's Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, they're open until 7. This show comes out on Thursday, so you can grab some barbecue, go home. Cue up the Live from Mentor Arena segment, which we will hear now from our good friend Dennis Mentor. Take it away, pal.
Hey, thanks, guys, and what's up, Blues fans? This is Dennis Mentor, live from Mentor Arena. Check me out on Twitter, at Mentor Arena, and you can learn more about the greatest St. Louis Blues man cave there is. We are brought to you by the one, the only Adam Smokehouse. If you have not gone and eaten there in a while, you do not know what you're missing. Just the smoked wings, the ribs, the burn-ins. It's absolutely amazing. They're open for dinner now during the week, 3 days. They're delivering. There is no reason you should not be eating at Adam's Smokehouse. Go check them out on Twitter, at Adam's Smokehouse. Let them know that Dennis from Mentor Arena sent you. Hey, we recently ran a poll asking if you guys were interested in doing a contest where the winner would receive, a winner and three friends would receive a watch party in Minner Arena. We had, 100, 150 votes, and 85% of you said absolutely you're interested. So we have talked to the guys with the podcast, and there may be something in the works there. But we're also going to do something on our own. So you will be seeing a contest coming out real soon where we will have a random drawing where you can have a watch party with three of your friends here in Minner Arena. So, hey, what an absolute crazy time. I would have thought coming into this week's segment on the podcast that with us winning three of our last four games, that I would kind of have an attitude change, that a lot of fans would have an attitude change. But, guys, there's just something still missing. There is still something that is causing the inconsistencies. There's something that is just causing this team to not even be close to 100%. Here we are. We are still last in the division. We're 27th in the NHL, and here we are coming into the second week of November. What's driving me nuts, again, I'm just a fan. Darren and Jamie, you know, these guys have played. They know the insides and outs. So, but golly, I mean, as a fan, I just don't understand why in the world Yo doesn't see what most of us as fans see. Even commentators are commenting on this. Other fans are commenting on this. But a lot of it comes down to, he finally set J-Bo out. But who knows? I mean, he may be right back up in the lineup on that top line again. It doesn't make any sense from my perspective. I'm a fan of J-Bo. I'm not a fan of how he's playing right now. I don't think he's recovered from that injury. I think it's obvious he's a stride behind. I feel like a broken record because I continue to say this. But when in the world is Yo going to do something about it? I don't know. And look, maybe he is. Maybe we're going to see some transitions going into Friday and Sunday's game. But here's a couple things I do know from this last game. O'Reilly, this guy's for real, man. He's insane good. First hat trick ever in his NHL career. He's also scored points in the last eight games. And let's talk about a guy that I had doubt in, and that's Fabbri. Back with an absolutely sick and disgusting goal that he scored the other night. So I really, really hope that mentally he can stay in the games and out there. And the reason I say that, man, with the kind of injuries he's had over the last couple of years, you know, that has to be weighing on the back of his mind. Look, here we are, like I said, last in division, 27th in NHL. But the Blackhawks, 6th in division and 20th in the NHL, they've won three cups over the last several years, and they still fire their manager, Quenneville. And I know we're all hoping, we're all saying we want Quenneville back, but I highly doubt the Blues are even in the running for this for a multitude of reasons. As a fan, I think that, I don't know, in my opinion, I feel like the Blues have almost lost their identity this year. I was excited about the changes that were going on in the Scott trade, which is now the Enterprise Center. But we have become a team that's focused more, at least I feel, again, just my point of view, I feel like we are trying to stretch and become more entertainment level and reach more and more crowds. When I don't care about the entertainment between the periods, I don't care about any of that. I just want a team that's going to win. But we have lost an identity. We've got these woos, love them or hate them. We are not the original team to be doing that. We're all of a sudden singing Sweet Caroline. We've got country music now playing. We've got a new announcer that, God love her, she just seems lost at times. Some of the games and things that that she's introducing, people just seem lost. It's just an awkward feel at the games right now, and I can't really explain it, but I hope we're on an uptick back the right direction. But as a fan right now, I'm just man, it's just tough right now. And I know I'm not alone with that. I'm reading it on Twitter. I see the tweets back and forth between a lot of us. But, hey, like I said, on the good note, the Blues have won 3 out of the last 4. Let's hope that you know, the pendulum is swinging back the other way. Go check out Adam's Smokehouse. That's going to make you feel a whole lot better, I promise. Go have it for lunch today, and I assure you, you will start smiling. Your tummy will be full. Everything's going to be good. But until next week, guys, let's go Blues.
Good stuff as always from Dennis. And again, special thanks to Adam's Smokehouse for bringing you that Live from Mentor Arena segment each week. Giving us that fan perspective, and we appreciate it and all their contributions, especially Dennis and his wonderful man cave, Mentor Arena. To all of our, to the rest of our partners, NelsonLandServices.com, thank you for your continued support, one of the great amateur families in St. Louis that do so much for amateur hockey, just great people that do a tremendous job. If you're going to trust them with your lawn care, with any of your landscaping, any needs that you may have, that's NelsonLandServices.com. They're 5-star locally rated, and of course, you know, just reasonable prices for just tremendous work. If the people that know them within the community will tell you that they're very trustworthy and worth every dime that you will spend with them, and just again, great people. And that's some of the relationships that we have. Randy Green, same way. InnovativeCompanies.com, a guy you can know and trust. And we thank him for his continued support with all 4 companies underneath that one umbrella. Construction, heating and cooling, the electric team, and now the plumbing team up and running. He's a second-generation craftsman, folks, and he, without fail, if he shakes your hand and tells you he's going to do something, he's going to do it, and that's why we appreciate it. To all of our listeners out there, we thank you for your continued support. I leave you. Let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.